Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. If you can't join us in person, join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Chat with us, pray, fellowship, and grow in the grace of Christ. This is Pastor Dave, and this week's message is I Am Willing, Are You? And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It is our prayer and hope that we will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. That's our mission statement. Know, grow, go, sow. This past week, I watched again the movie, The Jesus Revolution. I don't know if you've seen it. Maybe you went to the theaters. If you haven't seen it, I would highly recommend the movie to you. It's a very powerful movie about the move of the Holy Spirit in the lives of so many young teenagers in the 1960s and early 70s. It's based on a true story. The Holy Spirit filled many teenagers during the 60s and the 70s. Churches were filled and lives were transformed. It truly was a revolution. It was a revival during the tumultuous and trying times of the Vietnam War when sex, drugs, and alcohol abuse abounded. Instead of turning to despair and depression, many came to know the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would highly recommend the movie. And just recently, on one of our Wednesday nights, a revival broke out at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. The ordinary chapel service that day started a fire. Well, it burned and burned and burned. It burned from February 8th, where thousands of people traveled to the little town of Wilmore to experience the move of the Holy Spirit. Some reports have said that over 20,000 people from many different states and countries arrived and felt and sensed and experienced the Holy Spirit. It's been reported that revivals are breaking out in colleges across the United States. I heard even Los Angeles was experiencing revival. And then Maranatha. That's the Greek word, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Let us pray for a revival to break out in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, our workplaces, our hospitals, everywhere, and especially in our hearts. Come Lord Jesus, come to us with your powerful presence and your perfect peace. Forgive us for our sins, for they are many. Heal our broken hearts, our broken homes, our broken schools, and broken government. Holy Spirit, fill us with your holy boldness to go out into this world and be the salt and the light that will transform this world. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to pick them up and join me in our reading in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be in Matthew 8 for a few weeks. We've been walking with the Apostle Matthew for a while. Matthew has told us about the birth of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus, and Jesus' wilderness temptations and testing. At the end of chapter 4, Matthew tells us Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then we read the Beatitudes as the opening of Jesus' most famous teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. This Sermon on the Mountain is found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And we looked at that powerful challenge last week when Jesus challenged us to be the salt and the light. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we read the last teaching of Jesus, and then he tells us about the wise builder and the foolish builder. In Matthew 7, we hear these powerful words, and they're a challenge. Listen to what God says here in Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Well, as we journey with Jesus to Jerusalem during this time, I'd like for us to spend some time looking at some of the miracles recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and 9. In these chapters, Matthew records 9 miracles. In 2 chapters, Matthew records 9 miracles, broken up by 2 stories about the calling of the disciples. Let us listen for God's word for us today from the opening of chapter 8 as we look at the first of these 9 miracles. Okay, from the Jesus Revolution, when I say this is the word of God, you can point to heaven and say, amen. I've prayed for a revival in my lifetime. Let it be so. And as we read these words, put yourself in the story. And by the end of the message, put the story in you and bring it with you wherever you go this week till we gather again next week. And do the same, story in, story out. Let's learn to follow this Jesus man. Matthew chapter 8, 1-4. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Matthew chapter 8, 1-4. When the first question I want to think about today is what creates a hunger in you that you gather to hear the word of God? What creates a hunger in you that you want to be close to God? I think this is the multi-million dollar question. I ask it all the time to myself. I often wonder how it can be that I have a job like this. Why do people hunger to hear the word of God? So let's look at the leper. This miracle of the healing of the leper is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels, here in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. You notice that we are never given the name of the leper in any of the records? I believe that this story is told to us so that we know that this story is not about the place, but about the person. Jesus doesn't care where you live, where you work, where you go to school, or where you stay. Jesus is concerned about you as an individual. And the leper is a name because, well, maybe he's your name. My name is Dave. People call me Pastor Dave. Maybe the story is about me. Maybe the story is about you. Put your name in that story. You know, we all have some kind of leprosy in one way or another. I know I'm going to step on toes with that statement. A leper who lived in the days of Jesus was considered an outcast from society. Leprosy was a disease that was contagious, out of control, and incurable. The temple priests had tried to take control of the situation. Lepers were deemed unclean and could not live in town. They could not go to the synagogue. In essence, they could not go to church or even be with their family. Talk about isolation. They were ostracized because of their illness. They were to walk hundreds of feet away from those and others who were considered clean. They were to tear their clothes and they were to shout, unclean, unclean, unclean. And if they ever came close to anyone, they were to shout out, unclean. Many of the righteous, including the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, thought that leprosy or the leprous condition, well, it was a sign of a person's sin. Living as a leper was a miserable, painful, and humiliating life. The suicide rate of a person with leprosy, it was very high. Can you enter into the sandals of the leper for a minute? Everywhere you go, you're not accepted. You're removed and kept away from your family. You can't go to school or work or church. You must shout out, unclean, 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 anytime you come close to someone so that they will not come in contact with you. If you were to touch a leper, you would be unclean. Can you imagine your life like that? Never having the touch of another human being? The life of the leper was anything but a good life. Listen now to how Matthew records this encounter. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Here's five things we can learn from that. Here's five little ditties or little points, I guess, or however you want it. There's five things we can learn from the leper. He recognized who Jesus was. That's number one. He recognized who Jesus was. Two, he had faith. And he did not say, "if you can." He said, "if you are willing." Don't miss that. He had faith. Number three, he knew he wanted to be healed. He didn't want to live alone as a miserable outcast. Number four, he humbled himself and fell face down at Jesus' feet and begged Jesus to heal him. And number five, he had faith and trusted in Jesus. He recognized who Jesus was. He had faith. He did not say, "if you can," but he said, "if you're willing." He knew he wanted to be healed. He humbled himself and he trusted in Jesus. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Our prayer team will pray for you. We've had some wonderful answers to prayer. Let's talk about the leper. We've been talking about the leper. This leper had heard the stories about Jesus. Maybe he had even seen some of Jesus' miracles from a distance. Maybe he was sitting at a distance during the Sermon on the Mount and heard, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted," Matthew 5:4. Crowds were talking about Jesus. Can you imagine this leper seeing Jesus? Put yourself in the story. The leper is covered with an incurable sickness. Matthew tells us that the first thing the leper does is that he fell to the ground and he begged, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The Greek word for knelt down is proskuneo, and it means to prostrate oneself, fall down, face down, kiss the ground or the feet of the one you are speaking to bow down or to worship or to kneel. A lot of different meanings for proskuneo. This is an imperfect verb in this sentence, which means that the action is never completed. The Greek word that Matthew uses for willing by the leper is thelo, and it is translated willing or want to or desire, wish, pleased, or take pleasure in. What is even more interesting is the verb for willing that is used by the leper and by Jesus is that it is a present active verb, meaning the action in the Greek is continuous and ongoing and never stops. The leper is willing to continuously come to Jesus and submit his life to him. The leper is continuously willing to humble himself and beg for help. The leper is continuously willing to put his faith and trust in Jesus, his healer and Lord. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus' answer is Jesus is continuously willing to reach out his hand and take hold of those who submit and humble themselves. Jesus is continuously willing to heal and help those who are broken, outcast, and ostracized. So I have a couple so what questions. Are you willing? I'm going to pause and let you ponder that. Are you willing? Are you willing to look for and recognize Jesus? Are you willing to put your faith in Jesus? Are you willing to humble yourself and fall face down in worship? Are you willing to want a change in your life? Are you willing to have faith and trust, well, like the unnamed leper? So we've looked at the leper. Let's look at the Lord for just a moment. Verse 3 is a very, very, very powerful verse. It says in verse 3, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Jesus could have cured the leper by just saying a word. Jesus healed the centurion daughter that way. Jesus healed the man with the withered hand in the temple that way. Jesus raised one of his best friends from the dead as he stood outside of Lazarus's tomb and called out for Lazarus to come out. Jesus didn't need to touch the leper. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus didn't need to touch him. But we are told he reached out his hand and touched the man. Why? Please don't miss this. Please stop and enter into this story for a minute. We're not told how long this man had leprosy. We're not told how long it had been since he had the opportunity to hold his wife or children in his arms. We're not told how long it had been for this man to ever have contact with another human being touching him. We are told that the man saw Jesus. He fell face down and kept saying, if you are willing, if you are willing, if you are willing, if you are willing. He fell to the ground begging for healing. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. The people in those days avoided lepers, but Jesus touched him. The Greek word for touched that Matthew uses here, it's really a fascinating word in Greek. It's hapto, H-A-P-T-O, hapto. It literally means to kindle, or to light, or to set on fire, to grasp, or to cling to, or to adhere to, or to hold. And we just translated, he touched him. But Jesus reached out and kindled a fire in him. Jesus reached out and grasped him. Jesus reached out and clung to him, to hold him. Jesus didn't merely touch the leper. He took a hold of him and held him firmly. Wow, Jesus gripped him and said, I am willing, be clean. The stretching out of Jesus' hand and taking hold of the leper, it's a powerful expression of the infinite grace and the goodness of God. Friends, no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how far we have run, no matter what, we are never beyond the touch of Jesus. Let me say that again. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you have run, no matter what, you are never beyond the touch of Jesus. In his book, Your Church is Too Safe, Mark Buchanan shares the story about a Russian pastor named Father John Sergeyev. Buchanan shares John was a priest in Kronstadt, Russia, in the mid to the late 19th century. That was the time and place of dirty marketplaces. It was the time of Imperial Russia was decadent, rotting beneath its own weight, and the streets were dangerous, rife with poverty and depravity. Crime ran amok, alcoholism was rampant, prostitutes crowded the corners, thieves the alleys. There was no safe place, so most people who weren't part of the world didn't venture out into it. Most of the clergy used a life of privilege and status, used what many warning powers they had to insulate themselves from the widespread peril and hardship. Not so for Father John. His daily practice was to don his robe and descend into the meanest part of the city. He'd walk among the addicts and the predators, the whores and the thieves, the orphans and the widows, and he did with it with a healing in his wings. He would find the most broken and desolate man or woman he could track down lying in a gutter or standing on a street corner. He would cup their chin in his large hands and lift their face so they're looking directly in his eyes. And this, he would say, meaning this way of life, this means of survival, this condition I found you in, this is beneath your dignity. You were created to house the glory of the living God. Father John, in his lifetime, was called the pastor of all Russia. And everywhere he went, revival came with him. So we've looked at the leper. We've looked at the Lord. Let's take a few minutes and look at the lesson. Remember the Greek word for that is used for willing by the leper and Jesus is thelo, and it's translated willing or want to, desire to, wish, pleased, or take pleasure in. Jesus is continuously willing to reach out his hand and take hold of those who submit and humble themselves. Let me say that again. It's important because I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. But Jesus is continuously willing to reach out his hand and take hold of those who submit and humble themselves. Jesus is continuously willing to heal and help those who are broken, outcast, and ostracized. In England, there is a paper factory that makes the finest stationery. If you visit it and ask what the stationery is made from, you'll be surprised to find out that much of what makes this perfect, high-quality paper, well, it's dirty rags. In one area, stockpiled old dirty rags are in huge piles. One man who visited this there couldn't believe it. 6 weeks after his visit, he received a package of paper from the company with his initials embossed on it. And on the first page were written the words, dirty rags, transformed. Christ does the same with our lives. He takes our dirty rags and transforms us into the image of Christ. Jesus is continuously willing to transform our lives if only we are ready to humble ourselves and cry out for healing. Martin Luther, who is credited with the Protestant Reformation, was found on his deathbed with these words scrawled in German and Latin. We are beggars. That is true. This statement by Luther may have inspired T.D. Niles to say, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find a piece of bread. Not a sweet roll or a cup of coffee, but a bite of the staff of the bread of life. The church is a fellowship of beggars receiving and offering love, support, and hope. Committed Christians acknowledge their desperate dependence upon God and their interdependence on one another. They are always in the bread line. If not receiving, well, then giving. Isn't that marvelous? I suppose that is why I have the job I have. I was a beggar in the bread line, first receiving, now still receiving, but also giving. Father John started a revival in Russia because he was willing to go out and touch the untouchable. Our lives are to be like the dirty rags that are transformed into beautiful stationery. The dirty rags of our life can be transformed by the touch of Jesus. Today's lesson is the leper, the Lord, and the lesson. The so what is really simple. We are the leper. The Lord is willing to touch our lives. The lesson is that all we have to do is gather week after week to tell and retell the story of Jesus. Just as we are, Jesus wants to reach out to you and me today. Are you willing? Jesus is willing. Jesus wants to touch us, to heal us, to make us whole and clean again. The question is, am I willing? Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray that your Holy Spirit touch us to humble ourselves, to trust Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. Come to Jesus. Jesus is willing. Are you? God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.